are not leaving the Anglican Communion because we are the true Anglicans. We just don't accept that we can hand over the franchise of Anglicanism to people who've suddenly, in a unilateral way, have decided to create a new version of Anglicanism.
Let's not be too naive about this all being theological and biblical argument. This is also about money and property. There have been lines drawn in the sand before, or a Donnybrook is predicted, and then it doesn't happen.
The voices of Archbishop Greg Venables and, of course, Bishop Gene Robinson, the man who stands at the center of a now going on 3-4, almost 5-year controversy in worldwide Anglicanism, 77 million strong, the second largest segment of Christianity on the planet next to the Roman Catholic Church. The Anglican Communion is old, it is venerable, and some people say it's falling apart. The Lambeth Conference, once a decade, the meeting of all the bishops of the Anglican Communion. This one is, I even heard one person say, this may be the last time we're able to get the representatives of all 77 million together in one place at one time under one unified meeting. Bishop Keith Ackerman joins us here for the first part of this hour of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us via email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Bishop Keith Ackerman is Bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Quincy, President of an Anglican Reform Group called Forward in Faith. Bishop Ackerman, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd. God bless you. Good to hear your voice.
If you had to describe what's going on in Anglicanism to someone who's just coming to the story, who's just hearing about Lambeth and who's just trying to catch up, how would you describe it, Bishop?
Well, I would say that God's plan of creating order out of chaos is being reversed. And I think that we are now looking at a chaos that is coming out of order. The way I would probably describe it in another way is that Anglicanism, as you've noted, being the size that it is, has been able to hold together because of a number of matters which have united us that are now being called into question.
Are we looking at schism, split in the Anglican Communion inevitably?
Well, it's an intriguing question because I believe that what precedes schism, at least historically speaking, would be the matter of perhaps realignment. And that is, as we look at the history of Christianity, we have discovered that any number of differences have caused us to function apart from one another. In some instances, it has been doctrine and dogma, ethnicity, location, any number of things. But prior to that, it's not a matter of just waking up one day and saying, that's it. It's a little bit like a husband and wife divorcing over the fact that one of the spouses squeezes the toothpaste tube in the middle. Probably some other things have occurred, and that just became a final straw.
What has occurred in Anglicanism, and especially with respect to your, I guess you could call it a province of Anglicanism, the Episcopal Church USA, that have brought things to a head, especially as we approach Lambeth?
Well, first, Todd, thank you for describing it the way you did, because you've just articulated what most people don't get, and that is the vast majority of people in the United States, including a number of Episcopalians, really think of themselves as belonging to an independent American denomination. And you're quite right. We are one of 38 provinces throughout the Anglican world. We have been held together by instruments of unity. We have seen ourselves as a continuation of the church that was planted in England, and we have seen ourselves as being in communion with the See of Canterbury, which it would be a daughter church, as it were, of Rome, since it was established by the Bishop of Rome centuries and centuries ago. The changes that have taken place in the American province are breathtakingly unprecedented, and it has caused a significant number of people around the world who are Anglicans to say, do you people think that you are independent? Or is one bishop in the Episcopal Church said not long ago, well, why did you think we had the 4th of July and the War of Independence? Somehow he saw the leaving from England as being also an ecclesiastical reality. But according to everything that we know in the preface to our Book of Common Prayer and in our Constitution and Canons, it was not an intention to leave the faith that had been entrusted to us.
What is Lambeth, this occasional meeting of Anglicans?
Every 10 years, the bishops from around the Anglican world are invited by the Archbishop of Canterbury to gather together for the purpose of being able to keep the house in order, also to work on resolutions that will better define who we understand ourselves to be, and also for mutual support. That is to say, were it not for the presenting problems which the Episcopal Church continually places before the Lambeth Conference, we would be dealing with some of the other problems that are facing people around the global world in the Anglican Communion, and of course, in general, and that is how we deal with Islamization, how do we deal with Christian minorities being persecuted, how do we deal with starvation, with plagues and famines, and with the poverty that exists, how do we deal with the increase and pandemic, the increased pandemic of AIDS.
I'm wondering about Gene Robinson. I may be remembering this incorrectly, but he would ordinarily be one invited to attend Lambeth because he is, at least in name, the bishop of New Hampshire.
That would be correct.
And
all diocesan bishops and all suffragan bishops, which would be like an assistant bishop.
Do you know, is he planning to attend, given the fact that his attendance would be disruptive?
He has indicated in something that I read that he would be getting married to his partner and that they would be celebrating their honeymoon in England during Lambeth Conference.
Maybe I'm a cynic, but it seems to me that's an interesting timing for a gay marriage.
It certainly does, doesn't it?
I guess it raises this question. It's one in our many conversations on the Episcopal Church USA, on the ordination of openly gay and lesbian clergy and bishops in that church. It seems to me that Gene Robinson and then later Bishop Catherine Jeffords Shorey, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church USA, in a very measured and very polite way, are sticking their fingers in the eyes of worldwide Anglicanism.
Well, that would certainly not be inaccurate. I think that if I were to look at it through their eyes, I would probably say, oh, I'm just being prophetic. But then again, what I've discovered today, the difference between being disobedient and prophetic depends upon where you're standing. And this is inconsistent with what the rest of the Anglican Communion has been saying. I've just returned from Jerusalem, having been at a conference called GAFCON, a Global Anglican Future Conference. And it was very, very clear, with the decidedly vast majority of Anglicanism being represented at that conference, that what you've just described is precisely the interpretation of the rest of the Anglican Communion.
The last time that the bishops, I think it was, in this case it was the archbishops, met together, and I think it was last year,
yes,
there was some controversy because some of the bishops, especially third world bishops and African bishops, southern hemisphere bishops, refused to participate in the Lord's Supper with some of the representatives of the Episcopal Church USA. They felt as though they could not do this in good conscience and declare a unity that they did not believe exists. Will a similar occurrence take place, you think?
Yes, absolutely. There will be a number who will be going who will have sent themselves from the sacrament. They've already indicated so. And even more dramatically is the fact that primates from several of the largest provinces in the entire Anglican Communion will not even be attending Lambeth Conference. They said that they do not believe in a good conscience they can associate with people who have constantly refused to live by those things which not only the Scripture has revealed, but also that which the primates themselves have agreed upon.
So are we looking at this stage mere protest, but short of saying the problem has reached the point where communion is broken?
Yes, it's interesting. We have really, when we speak about communion, looked at several elements. One would be full communion, another would be impaired communion, and the third is broken communion. And a number of provinces had in the past indicated that they existed in a state of impaired communion with the American province, a.k.a. the Episcopal Church, but now a number of provinces are going so far as to say that they are in a state of broken communion. And what that in effect would mean is that clergy from those provinces would not be able to function in their province. It would mean not being able to be at the Lord's table or the altar together.
Bishop Keith Ackerman is Bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Quincy, president of an Anglican Reform group called Forward in Faith. It's always a pleasure talking with you, even though so often our conversations are of a sad nature, Bishop. Thank you for being our guest on Issues, Etc.
Absolutely.
When we come back from this break, we're going to be talking with Scott Klusendorf. A little primer on defending the pro-life position. A few pitfalls you might want to avoid when having that conversation. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned for more Issues, Etc.
It's the new phone number for the Issues, Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Will your church be one of the Issues, Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to pledge $1,000 to Issues, Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300, look for the sponsors section at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Please consider including Issues, Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, Etc. 300.
Contending for the truth in an age of anti-truth, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues, Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues, Etc.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30. And find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.